97.5 The Fanatic.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
What's going on, everybody? Joe Torti still here with you. 97.5 The Fanatic. Connor Thomas producing as we hang out together until midnight. Obviously continuing to share and commiserate. You know, with everything that's gone on in the past 24 hours, it's been truly a whirlwind since everything's come out. And obviously, everybody's got a Kobe Bryant story. Everybody has a first experience of Kobe. Everybody's got some way that Kobe impacted their lives. And we're going to continue to unpack those. 610-632-0975. It's the best way. The only way is to get through stuff like this together. I've always found that that's kind of the healthiest way to do it. If there is, you know, a healthy way to do it, it's, you know, there's nothing that will make you feel better. You know, it's certainly not if you were a family member, close friend, and not just to Kobe, of anybody who passed away in this tragedy or tragedies in general, right? But the one thing is that at least by people sharing their stories and their grief, we know that we are not alone. We're not alone going through this, and other people are feeling the same way that we are. So in that spirit, let's continue on the phones. Keith and Chester's been holding on 97.5 The Fanatic. We can get to Keith, Ryan, Will, and then it can be you. What's going on, Keith? Keith, you with us?
Yeah, I'm there.
What's up, man?
Hey, man. I just wanted to call in and say, you know, I heard that I was asleep when the news broke. I woke up an hour later, and I woke up and my wife is just standing in front of me, and she tells me what happened, and I was just stunned. And I, you know, like, I have family members that passed, you know, but with them, like, you know, I knew that they were ill, and when the news hit, it wasn't as big of a surprise. I was ready for it.
Sure, you can prepare. Yeah,
you know, you can prepare. But with this one, you know, it hit me like the same way like when Paul Walker passed. You know, like when Aaliyah passed.
Yeah.
You know, like all those people, you know, had a big impact on me as a kid. And especially Kobe, and especially being from Chester. You know what I mean? Like, I remember being a young buck and hearing all the stories about how Kobe dumped Chester High. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
he killed Chester High. But, like, people weren't saying it like it was a bad thing, which was the strangest thing to me, because, you know, you from Chester, it's basketball. That's all. That's it, period. You know, it's basketball. Like, I moved to Chester, I didn't even know how to play basketball. So, like, if you got dumped on, it was a bad thing. But because Kobe did it, it was all right. You know what I mean?
Oh, and it's not like if Wayne Ellington or Gerald Henderson did it, that Chester's cool. That's something
right.
That's exclusive to Kobe.
Right.
There's no doubt, man.
And I remember when I was a kid, my cousins told me this embarrassing thing that happened to them. They were at the Chester versus Lower Marion championship game, and my cousins, my uncle, their father is loud. Like, he's that loud uncle at a cookout.
Of course.
And they're down low, and they're behind Lower Marion's bench, and Kobe's sitting on the bench. So my uncle goes yelling like, "Kobe, yo, Kobe!" Kobe finally turns around. And then my uncle, in front of my cousins who were also seniors that year, my uncle goes, "My kid's Biggie, man." So my cousins tell me Kobe like does a slow pan across, you know, the row, looking at my cousins, just kind of like sitting there. And that's something that I definitely wanted to share, because I just thought that was hilarious. And I can just see Kobe's face, like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. We've seen him do that before. Keith, that's awesome, man. Thanks for sharing that. Really appreciate it, brother. Have a great night. Yeah, that we've seen him give that look before. You know, just scanning. Can see him doing that. Man. I mean, that, in a way, the way that Keith found out, I don't know if that's better or worse. Because like I said, when I found out, it was Kobe. Then it was Kobe and Gianna. Then it was Kobe and Gianna and nine other people. I mean, like, it just kept adding on, or seven other people, just kept adding on over and over and over again. And it was just like every new news update. You know how we like crave sports news? You're like craving the push notifications. Like you want something to happen. You want to get dinged on your phone. It was like any time you got an update yesterday, you didn't want to read it. It was like you did not want to get one more bit of information on this. So to get it all at once, you know, kind of like an hour after everything started going, it had to be pretty brutal for Keith. Let's go to Will in St. Joe's next on the Fanatic. Hey, Will.
Hey, Joe. How are you doing tonight?
Okay. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Good.
So I go to St. Joe's, and it's right around the corner where I live is Larry's Steaks.
Yep.
And if you recall, when Kobe announced his retirement, he went to Larry's Steaks like the next night because they're playing Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently his favorite thing to get was a belly filler, which is basically just a giant cheesesteak, and he ordered it with ketchup and mayonnaise. I always thought that was like a funny little tidbit. That I just like learned.
I think he might have made the wall. I know that they had Fultz up there for a while. He's on the wall. Yeah.
He is. Yeah. And the owner, well, I think the owner's name Tony, he put up a banner and it says, goodbye, Kobe and Gigi. And it's a picture of them. And it's just right in the front of the store. Just a big banner right now. So it's pretty cool.
Well, I'm not far away, so I might swing by and check that out there, man.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But growing up, I was always a LeBron fan, so I was never a Kobe-like guy, but he was always a rival, so I always respected him. And I'll never forgive the Magic for robbing us of a LeBron-Kobe final series.
You're not kidding, man. That would have been amazing. But yeah,
right?
When you watch, the thing is, it seemed like there was always, like that year it was the Magic, there was always something that interrupted that collision course. We were waiting for LeBron versus Kobe forever.
Oh,
you're right,
God,
man.
Yeah.
We got robbed.
Yeah.
All right, Will. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Have a great night. Take it easy. Man. It's cool to hear that Larry's doing that tribute. I like that a lot. Seeing Shaq and obviously Carmelo Anthony and Tracy McGrady and Chris Paul sitting out of the game. You assume that something's going to be happening with the Sixers and Golden State tomorrow. It is a larger than life moment. This is a watershed moment for Philadelphia sports fans. Like if you're like me, and I assume that a lot of people have been on both sides of this, especially listen to the station. There's a large contingent of people that understand that when Len Bias passed, it was a big-time tragedy, but the impact of it wasn't really felt, you know, whether you were too young to get it or whatever it was. I mean, this is one of the things that is going to be written in permanent marker on your sports memory here is finding out about Kobe Bryant. It's the comparison that I made. I mean, people brought up Paul Walker, Aaliyah, which are good ones. I mean, I thought back to Roy Halladay. I mean, that was literally, and it was a similar thing in that I thought both of those guys were Kevlar. Like, it was just, there was nothing that was ever even going to hurt these guys. What do you mean that, you know, they're not with us and they died too young and everything else? Like, it just seems so, that was my reaction yesterday as a 30-year-old who I assume has, like, pretty standard developed brain function. My thought was still like, come on. Kobe didn't die in a helicopter crash. There's nothing that's going to hurt Kobe. It's been a really, really tough 24 hours here. Really has. Ryan and Mayfair is next on the Fanatic. What's going on, Ryan?
Hey, what's up, Joe?
Okay, how are you?
Hello?
Hey, you with us?
Yeah, okay. Hey, how are you? I do have a Kobe story, but like real quick, I think why it's so hard to process and so hard to really just even take in, to even start getting over, like you spoke about Roy Halladay and Paul Walker, like they were nice men and you know they were good guys off the court. Kobe to me was immortal. We were just men walking amongst a giant no matter what. He stepped on the court with Jordan, with Shaq, with Iverson, with LeBron, any of the greats. If they loved him, they loved him. But if they hated him, They wanted his respect. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and they compete. They would compete and compete to get his respect. If I didn't like you, I didn't like you. I didn't need your respect. You can, you know what I mean, whatever.
Yep.
With him, they needed him to approve, all right, you got game. You can stand on the court, mate. Or as everyone looked around him, I can hang with Kobe. That's how Kobe was with May. No one can hang with him. I'm a Kobe guy through and through. But people who are even around him, when he spoke, you listened. And every minute of every day, he expected greatness from you, no matter if it was in your marriage, on the basketball court, or your grades, being a father. He did it to the fullest, as far as I know. And I mean, he's immortal. And I don't think he could go out like this. And that's why I just can't accept it. It's just such a hole. Like when Roy Howard, I love Roy. You know, he's my man. But when he passed, it was like, man, the good die young. You know, it's just, you know.
Right. I gotcha.
Kobe, like, no, this is not, no. He still has 2, 3, 4, 5 chapters left, man. This is crazy. This is so sad. Well, my Kobe story real quick is I went to judge. Starting '96, he came in for a skills competition,
mm-hmm.
and I was only a freshman, and he was a senior, and, like, you know, Eddie Griffin was there, who was also a freshman with me, and, you know, it was, like, one of those things where it was, like, Kobe was, like mentoring Eddie Griffin. I was, like, wow, man, two of these guys in my high school, crazy, you know what I mean? But that was the closest I ever got to him, you know what I mean? Gave him a little hand slap, and that was all, but he made me a believer no matter what, and he'll forever be missed and loved and just adored and, you know, respected.
Ryan, you got it, man. Thank you. Have a great night and thanks for sharing. You know, and that is, you know, not to bring up a painful moment. That's why what Ryan said was that, you know, you wanted the respect even if you weren't on his team or you didn't like him or whatever. The desire to be accepted by Kobe is why the rip your heart out comments and stuff like that. That's why they cut us so badly, because not only is it, you know, a Philly guy in Kobe Bryant, he's not the first Philly guy who's gone somewhere else and had a lot of success somewhere else. It's more to the fact that we felt that in that moment, he was disregarding the fact that he, you know, grew up here, was formed here, at least for his high school years and stuff like that. So the fact that there was kind of reconciliation later, and the Eagles Super Bowl video is one that's been circulating a ton, where he's holding his daughter and watching the Super Bowl and everything else. Like the rediscovery, I guess, that he was, that he considered himself one of ours, is something that was pretty powerful from a catharsis standpoint, because, you know, for a while, that's all people could remember is that, you know, oh, Kobe doesn't want to be associated with Philadelphia or whatever. And the fact that it kind of came back full circle was a powerful reuniting force, but also got to ease us of that. Hey, we want Kobe to like us. We want Kobe to respect us. We want to be recognized by Kobe Bryant. So that's well said by Ryan. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. Let's go to Jordan next in New Hope. Jordan, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey there, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
You know, shocked like everybody else. Disbelief to the point, just like you said, where it's, you know, it's hard to really fathom and process. But, yeah.
Yeah, man. So what was your first, you know, experience with Kobe, whether it was in high school or in the NBA? What sticks out to you when you look back on his life and his career?
Oh, well, growing up, you know, my NBA progression, you know, started watching Michael Jordan when he came back. I know I remember mm-hmm. taping over one of my mom's cassettes, and then I was a Shaquille O'Neal fan, and Iverson comes along, and it's just Sixers from there. Like, everybody else I had respect for a little bit, but I started kind of hating on him, you know, like, F that guy. Like,
sure.
Yeah, like, I'm a Sixers fan, but Kobe Bryant, he was one that I fully still respect. I respected him fully, and just what he was as a competitor. He was a guy that, you know, anybody else, I was like, this, let's have the Sixers win who we are. But, I, you know, I was like, I would take Kobe any minute. You know, he was a guy that just, his work ethic and his heart and just the, you know, he had an aura to him. He was more than life. So, he was a guy I respected, and you know, that example that he led and that he gave is, you know, they say the Mamba mentality, but you know, the work ethic, that comes behind that is just remarkable. And, you know, he created that aura of Teflon because of how hard he worked. And, you know, he'd play injured. He would shoot with his left hand just in case he had to. You know, he practiced that. So it's just remarkable what he put into it. And, you know, that's really, you know, besides all the, you know, the hurt that comes, like that's what I keep going back to, is just who he was as the kind of worker he was.
No, no question. Jordan, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Lots of people, I mean, not everyone, but I think that there are lots of people on the planet that can say the kind of stuff that Kobe did and be demanding of his teammates and everything else. But without the other half of what Kobe did, which was attention to detail and willingness to put in personal work, and you know, one of the youngest memories that I have of rejecting authority is when people would tell me to do something and I couldn't fathom that they would do it by themselves. I couldn't imagine, you know, whether it's a teacher that's asking you to solve a problem or a personal trainer that's asking you to do, you know, an exercise or whatever it is. It's so, that message falls so flat if the person that is being asked to do something or ordered to do something can't imagine that person doing it. So you hear about great military commanders and things like that. You hear about generals who aren't leading from the back, they're leading from the front. And those are the guys whose men and women just will follow them fanatically. You can say what you want about Kobe's approach and the way that he was demanding of his teammates and things like that, and if it rubs you the wrong way, okay. But at the very least, you knew that there was nothing that Kobe was going to ask you to do or to add or to work or whatever that he hadn't already done. So when I was talking about it earlier that he's a throwback, you know, just people talking about this player needs to start doing this and this player needs to start doing that. You know, it's kind of unusual, actually. It's kind of strange where players would just graft things onto their games, right? But LeBron James, Michael Jordan, and yes, Kobe Bryant are players that would hear about defensive deficiencies and address those in one off season. All they do is focus on jumping passing lanes and studying film and getting better from a form perspective on blocking a shot, or else they needed to add stuff in the post game. They needed to add a hook shot. They needed to add a fadeaway. They needed to add a step back. Whatever it is, Kobe was one of those guys that literally, even as he was climbing the mountain of hoop, was still working on his game and adding new stuff. I mean, that is an inspiring career, especially when you look at a guy who had literally every right for the last probably, what, 7-8 years of his career to sit back on his laurels and just rest and enjoy his trip to the Hall of Fame. That was not in Kobe's DNA. Let's go to Keegan on the cell next on the Fanatic. Hey, Keegan.
Hey, how's it going?
Great, how are you?
Hey, good. I was just watching the ESPN, like, Kobe's farewell tribute.
Yeah, the last game, right?
Yeah, and the logo that they had of Kobe doing the fadeaway. I think that should be the new NBA logo. To have Jerry West as the logo, I think it doesn't represent the game anymore. And Kobe really represents how the game has evolved.
So you'd be a fan of seeing the logo change from Jerry West to that fadeaway?
Yeah, really, I would.
I think that there might be a chance of that, Keegan, I do.
Yeah, no, and I believe there should be a change. Because we've been talking about the logo change for years and years. Because, I mean, let's face it, we have Jerry West as the logo. But this is a predominantly African-American sport, you know, we can talk about reasons why, but like the center is the reason, but like it's silly to have some white dude being the logo. I don't want to make it racial, but I do think it's kind of messed up.
Well, I mean, the problem is that, like, you look at the impact that Jerry West made on the game.
Right.
And, you know, it's hard to say that that guy's not deserving. Now, the question is whether there have been players in the modern day that have made an impact on the game like Jerry West, and as such, should the logo be updated and modernized to reflect the modern NBA, or is, you know, kind of the historical perspective back at Jerry West, you know,
I agree with you, the impact he had on the game. Kobe has a similar impact, but also the fadeaway jump shot is a better representation of what the game is now today than some guy dribbling down the court.
Sure. Yep. I'm Keegan, yeah. I'm with you, man. Thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. I get that part of it 100%. I understand that there's going to be a big push probably for that, I would imagine. And as I was telling Devon, I think that something like that would be well-deserved, especially as the relationship that Jerry West and Kobe have, I think, is something that would play into it. It would be a nice symbolic passing of the torch. I saw Jamal Crawford and some other players talking about making Kobe the logo. And I think that based on his contributions and his achievements in the game, especially, and also I would say, considering the tragic way that that his life ended yesterday, that's something that I assume would get a lot more support than perhaps it would have 4 or 5 years ago. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. James, you're going to be up first on the other side. I want to give you your full time. And then we have wide open phone lines. So if you want to hop aboard and share your stories about Kobe Bryant, whether your experiences with him locally or the impact that he made on you as a basketball fan, More than happy to hear from you. 610-632-0975. It's the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Tragedy hit in the NBA world as Kobe Bryant passes away at the age of 41 in a helicopter accident, along with his daughter and 7 others. Just a shocking, tragic turn of events, and it is never a great time to learn that someone has passed away, but in particular, I know that this has been a very difficult period, not just for Kobe's family and friends, but everybody who is a fan of his, a fan of basketball. It's just a heavy, heavy, hearted time here. And certainly we here at the Fanatic have been, you know, taking your thoughts and emotions and expressions of stories and everything else all day. That's going to continue here as we roll through until midnight. Let's go to James in Palm Springs next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, James?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Okay, how are you?
I'm still trying to, you know, handle this news about Kobe. But, I mean, you know, he was great. He was a great competitor, you know. And I think, you know, from people over there thinking, you know, about him when he said he was going to rip our hearts out over there. I mean, that's what athletes got to do. He was a great athlete, you know, and he will be missed out here. This is hard. It's hard out here.
If it would have been the other way, James, I mean, if it was somebody from L.A. who now played in Philly and he said he wanted to rip out everybody's hearts back home, we would have eaten it up and loved it. So it's just kind of the way that it goes.
Yeah, it is. It's just crazy that they hate him just because he said that. I mean, I won't hold a grudge against the guy. You know, he's great. That's what he That's what you get paid to do, you know?
Yeah, well, I think that it's, you know, that relationship has been rebuilt with him being such an insane, crazy Eagles fan. I mean, the him rooting for the team in 2017 and everything that's happened kind of since his playing career ended. As far as I'm concerned, I can't speak for everybody, James. I'm sure there might be some people out there still holding grudges, but I think a lot of those fences have kind of been mended. Yeah. So what sticks out to you, James, about him when you look back at his career?
I mean, he was one of them guys that didn't back down. I mean, he would come and give you his all, you know, and that's what you want, you know. If you were a fan in the game, that's what you want. That's what you want to see, you know, and that's what I like about him.
Yeah, me.
He gave his all.
Me too. James, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. That is a guy who goes full on, full speed ahead, 24/7. So, I mean, I really appreciate sharing that. And let me just share with you what I was talking about with Kobe Bryant, for example. Just like, I thought if there was a quote that kind of summed up who Kobe was, this was a back and forth that he had in an interview with Valuetainment when he was asked about healthy players taking off, you know, load management. I said, what the hell is that? I don't know what that is. That's crazy. Seriously, it's crazy. You've got a lot of people paying their hard-earned money to come watch you perform. It's your job to be in shape. It's your job to be strong enough to perform at that level every single night. As a competitor, I'm not ducking bleep. Like, it's not, oh, my back hurts, I'm sore, we got to play Vince Carter and the Raptors tonight. We actually had this happen. We had a game against Toronto in 2000, and Vince was tearing the league up. My back was jacked. But the perception of that, Kobe's missing a game against Toronto and Vince Carter, my back was really having spasms on me. But people would have looked at me like, oh, he's ducking Vince. Excuse me? No, I don't think so. So I'd be in the layup line like, okay, there are a lot of days when you can rest and recover. Today ain't one of them. Your back can bother you any day. That bleep ain't bothering me today. He's going to have to see me today. Now, people can point out, yeah, but Kobe got hurt. All right, fine. Kobe played 20 seasons in the NBA. So he knows something about durability beyond sitting out when you're healthy. I mean, I think it'd be pretty rare that people ever think of Kobe Bryant. You're like, yeah, that's the people's champ. You know what I mean? Considering the way that that his career played out, his upbringing, his background. But he speaks for probably 90% of you out there when he's talking about load management. I mean, that is the way that he could connect with you in a way that not a lot of people have been able to. Open phone line, 610-632-0975. Your phone number to join the conversation. Can also reach out on Twitter at Joe Torti at 97.5, The Fanatic. Paul Arch with a couple of good tweets in. The Pelly Lindbergh death hit me hard. Was sure he was going to bring multiple cups to the Flyers. Yep, that was one that literally came out of nowhere. Kenneth Coleman mentioned Left Eye from TLC being a huge shock when you heard it. That was true, too. We said, what? Lisa Lopez? Come on. And then Paul Arch with another one. And I wanted to save this one for last because I think it's particularly relevant. I come from a large family. We never said I love you. We knew, but after my dad died, we all started saying it to each other. I think that's a big-time important way, not necessarily to get something positive out of this, because in scenarios of tragedy, like how in the world can you even do that? But if there is any good that comes out of a really, really crappy situation, you know, maybe it's something like that. You know, I think that when you think about Kobe or whoever your big time sports idols are, or anything like that, sometimes it's hard to really compartmentalize, right, in a lot of ways, right? So there are some things where people have said, yeah, I didn't like Kobe's personality, or I didn't like some things that he did, or there's no hiding the elephant in the room. There's a situation in Colorado that obviously required some significant investigation, change on Kobe's part, you know, and to his credit, in the years since then, I think that he hasn't ducked it and he's handled that situation as well as you possibly could have, considering the circumstances, what the accusations were, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that there are also the things that we've got to deal with just from, hey, I'm a sports fan. I'm a basketball fan. And if I am a Kobe Bryant fan on the court, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that I approve of every single thing that Kobe has ever done, said, or been. And it's still appropriate to feel however I feel whenever this thing broke, that Kobe Bryant passed away at 41. 41's so young to leave behind a family the way that he did, to see another member of the Bryant family lost in the same accident. I mean, let me just say, this has been a long way of saying this. I've seen some heinous opinions and takes in recent time here, and I am very thankful that the response on Twitter has been very limited in that regard. But just because, you know, when you think of Kobe Bryant's legacy overall in sum total, the answer is a little complicated, does not mean that, you know, you are in any way wrong for feeling the way that you do about his loss and the loss that the basketball community at large has faced here. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. We're going to get to Lance first on the other side. It is the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
1046, 97.5 The Fanatic. Remembering Kobe Bryant, who's taken from us too soon at age 41, along with his daughter Gigi and seven others on a helicopter accident yesterday. Incredibly difficult time to be a Lakers fan, a friend or family member in the Bryant family. Sports fan in general, it's days like this that are way less fun than all the rest. I mean, heard Draymond Green talking earlier as the Warriors were practicing at Drexel. Asked for his thoughts on Kobe. Said, I don't want to give any thoughts on Kobe. I want to talk to Kobe. This is a distraction for me. You know, this is not life. You know, playing basketball is an escape. It's unfortunate, and it's not supposed to be this way when you know, something that we go to for enjoyment, to escape our jobs or bills, taxes, whatever it is, and instead we have to address things that hurt, things that are painful. But here we are, and we're trying to get through it together. You guys have been fantastic, so let's just keep that rolling with Lance in Arizona next on The Fanatic. Hey, Lance.
Hey, Joe. So when I was younger, I collect jerseys still, but the only team I didn't get, like, the only jerseys I would get were Philadelphia, because that's where I was from, that's where I grew up, mm-hmm. and then I moved out here, so that's all I buy. But the only jersey I ever bought that wasn't an Eagles one was a Kobe one, because I loved how he played the game, and then the whole thing in Colorado happened, so I gave it to my friend who's a huge Lakers fan, because I just couldn't get that. But, like, the end of his career and his retirement, my best friend works out in L.A., he used to work for, like, KABC, works now for the CBS affiliate out there. And he would tell me he'd meet him, and he was the nicest guy, and he was always about his kids. And then, like, I started getting back, watching him with his kids and what he did with WNBA and women's basketball and doing all that. And, like, it showed how much he grew from that experience back to it, that made me go back to him, that he was such a change, he became a better person, which is what we all want in life, is to learn from one of our experience and become better. And to me, like, the best image I ever saw with Kobe was that image last week where he was on the sideline talking to his daughter, telling her stuff, and they were laughing, because that's life. Like, I have those conversations with my parents now. I had those conversations when I was younger, and they would teach me stuff like that. To me, that's the most beautiful image that I remember from Kobe Bryant. Like, the basketball, man, it'll always go on. The NBA is going to go on. You're going to see a bunch of excellent highlights, and he has a ton of them. But, man, that, to me, that was the one. And it just happened, like, 2 weeks ago, and it hits harder for me because, I can't imagine, like, a day ago, 2 days ago, LeBron breaks that record, and then the next day he's just gone, and then that child, like, had her life ahead of her that she didn't get to live the dream. Like, for Kobe, I feel bad, but he lived 20 years of what he wanted to do. That girl and the other girl that was in the plane, they never got that chance, and to me, that's the sadness I feel, that they deserve to have that opportunity to do that. And for him, like, I feel bad for him just as a parent that he's helpless to do anything about that right now. So sorry for rambling.
No, Lance. I mean, it's, I agree. That's why I was giving you room and runway. Thanks for sharing. And thanks for the call, man. It's, I normally try as much as I can to, you know, I bring experiences and things like that to share, but, you know, personally, I try to stay out of it sometimes. But as a father of a little girl myself, that is exactly what I was thinking of. You know, if I were Kobe on the plane, you know, what's going through your mind? Or on the helicopter, what's going through your mind? Like, that is what rips you up to the core. Yes, Kobe did get to spend 20 years doing what he loved. But there's also tragedy in that as well. It's not just what he'd done. And as people have pointed out, discovered a new passion, discovered new ways to impact people's lives. And I happen to agree with Lance in that I think that perfection stories, while, you know, it's something that we should strive for, we should all strive to be perfect. You know, I'm not saying anybody has to be, but I think it's a pretty good target goal. It's not realistic, and it's also not interesting. It's not something that resonates with people nearly as much as a redemption story, right? And showing growth and showing change and showing that we've learned from our experiences, right? I think that we can all point to a time in our lives that was maybe not the turning point in our lives. Maybe you haven't needed the turning point in your life, but a turning point where you started looking at things differently, where you started talking to people differently, where you started approaching things differently, looking at the world through a different lens. I believe in my heart of hearts that while Kobe Bryant may have been, I don't know him, and I don't know every aspect of his life. He may have been an imperfect human. I buy 100% everything that we've seen, heard, read, consumed about him being one of the greatest fathers on the planet. Like, I believe that 100%. And in a world that, you know, quite honestly, we could use more fathers like Kobe, the fact that one of those is gone halfway through life is very sad. That really does cut to the core of you. Chris in Williamstown's next on The Fanatic. Hey, Chris.
You know, Joe, just the fact that, you know, no matter what, I think he will always, always be in the conversation for top three or top five in the league, no matter what era we're talking about, whether it's 20 years down the road or 20 years in the past. Kobe Bryant will always go down as a top five player. Just because he was, even though it was maybe a victim of circumstance that he got dealt to the Los Angeles Lakers, and, you know, that was just a historic franchise. But, you know, I called in Joe Torti or Joe Stasiak last night, and I, you know, kind of really gave my feelings, and Lance kind of, you know, really emulated my at-the-moment feelings. So then as the night goes on, like, there was one of the biggest wrestling pay-per-views in history. The Royal Rumble was last night. And I was absolutely checked out of it because of the fact that I had just learned about Kobe Bryant passing like literally 8 hours earlier. And it was just like, you know, I put it in this context. He was 10 years older than me. I grew up in the era where it was Allen Iverson, where it was Kobe. Kobe Bryant coming in the league, making their own, and really seeing them start off as rookies in the league and come up to be the players they did. Like, that was what made it so special about watching Kobe Bryant go out there every night, whether it was watching it on TV or just catching updates, like some people say, on the, you know, ESPN website. Like, you follow what Kobe Bryant did. And then to hear the admiration that LeBron James showed for him prior to him passing away, after the Sixers game where he passed him, like, you know, and ABC, all credit to them, did an absolutely perfect piece before the game where they talked about, you know, the brother relationship that these two really had, just even to this day, and helping LeBron still stay relevant, like, giving him, like, Kobe, after he, you know, got out of the league, whether it was the girls' basketball team, what have you, you can't, like, I will say this just to try to lighten things up. It's almost in what's going on with the impeachment trial, you know, where everything seems to be going against the president. You can't find anything to go against Kobe Bryant. You just can't, because he was just such a great human being from our area. And, you know, look back past him, his father played for our team. Everything was just so Philadelphia about this kid. You loved him. An Eagles fan through and through. I love Kobe Bryant. Rest in peace to him and his daughter, Gianna. Thanks for letting me on, Joe.
Yeah, Chris, you got it, man. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. That's, to say that he's a Philly player through and through, I mean, it's not just about geography. I mean, you look at the way that he approached the game, that he thought the game, that he attacked the game. I mean, that is exactly the way, if a city could be embodied in a player, you know, it might be Allen Iverson, but Kobe Bryant would not be far behind on that list. And I'm watching this game, the replay of his final game. I remember my live progression watching this, because I thought, you know, I've got to watch this. It's good, an historical moment. Scored 60 points against the Jazz. And I'm watching. The Jazz and the Lakers realize that it's like a bigger-than-life moment. Kobe Bryant, with like 15 seconds left, is trying to get open on, you know, he's double-team. Literally shoved Gordon Hayward, like, on the other side of half court. No call. And Gordon Hayward just did nothing. He was like, yeah, whatever. It's just this game. And I remember my live reaction being, oh my God, this is kind of awesome. Then in his swan song, Kobe's scoring, like, you know, all these points, 50 points. And then from going to being down 10 to winning the game, and Kobe's like, my God, Kobe's going to win them this game. Amazing. Amazing stuff. Jason, Chuck, we have extended commercial free time on the other side here. Want to give you guys plenty of time to share your thoughts on Kobe, your experiences, and your memories. So we're going to get to that next. 610-632-0975. Open phone lines after that. It is the Joe Torti Show on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.